You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to The Light Show. My name is Kate DeVries. I work in the Young Adult Ministry Office for the Archdiocese of Chicago, and I am delighted to be with you this morning. And I am here with the director of our office, Father John Cusick. Good morning, Father Cusick.
Good morning, Dr. DeVries.
How are you today?
I'm pretty good.
Excellent.
How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
It was good to see you in the office early this morning. I was inspired.
I was inspired and still a little sleepy, but I was there.
That's all right. It's about discipline.
There we go. 7:30 a.m. start. Yep. Nothing better.
That's
oh,
right.
Oh, my goodness.
That's good.
Yeah.
We expect a full day, you know.
That's right.
Those in the vineyard of the Lord.
We work hard, everybody.
Yes.
Everybody works hard. It's a
And good morning to
good
all
things.
Of you who are listening to us live on Relevant Radio, or you might have had the opportunity to upload this from the website or download it to your MP3 player, and you might be with your headphones on some workout equipment right now, or you might have those running shoes on or those walking shoes and getting out there and getting healthier than ever and listening to The Light Show, which is the show that comes to you once a month from the Young Adult Ministry Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And Kate, I'm very happy with what today looks like.
I am too. I'm very excited.
Radio show.
Today we have a special guest with us who
has
been a friend of Young Adult Ministry for a number of years. It is our privilege to have right here live in the studio, Beth Kenobi. Good morning, Beth.
Good morning. Thanks
good morning.
For having me. It's good to be with
pleasure.
You.
Pleasure.
Beth, it's Woo. Always a joy to be with you. Yeah, you radiate something in life not everybody does.
Thanks. Know,
there's a peacefulness about you, and then you always radiate a great smile. And That means that anybody, I think, who comes into your presence has got to feel better. So
yeah.
That'd be a good TV day today.
Yeah. But that's a real grace.
Well, and Father John and Kate, you two have been such an inspiration in my life and part of mentoring me into ministry and helping me get to where I am today. So it's always a grace and a privilege to be here.
Well, that's where we want to start.
Thank
we've invited Beth to be with us, and obviously she's accepted our invitation. Because she has recently published a book called Party of One, Living Single with Faith, Purpose, and Passion. And Kate, we know that the primary issue in the world of young adults continues to be
relationships.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and we always say that the Office of Young Adult Ministry is to Catholic outreach to those in their 20s and 30s, both single and married. Mm-hmm. And those are two very different lifestyles, and yet they are critically important. I think too often, Kate, in all the years we do young adult ministry, I've heard people say, oh, you work with singles. I said, no, we work with young adults. And they'll say, well, what's the difference? And I said, well, that's where you have to understand that there are actually married people out there, mm-hmm. and there are single people out there, and our job is to present the faith of Jesus Christ to almost
both.
20 years of people's lives.
Yeah.
But Beth, before we get into this, because you've got some wonderful, wonderful things in here.
Yeah.
Tell us about, you know, you mentioned you've connected with us. Tell us about your journey. How did you get from where you are now, campus minister at Shield Center, and the Catholic Student Center at Northwestern?
Mm-hmm.
Where did you first connect up either to the Chicago area, to young adult ministry, to a career change? Because mm-hmm. I knew you when you were in the corporate world.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think I met both of you the year I moved to Chicago, which was in 1990. 5 that summer, I moved to Chicago.
16 years ago
now. Yeah, 16 years ago. And I came to Chicago to spend a year volunteering with Amate House.
That's right.
Which is the volunteer program for young adults sponsored through the Archdiocese of Chicago.
That's right.
And I spent a year teaching at Josephinum High School, which is an all-girls Catholic high school on the west side, and living in a community of Amate House volunteers. And sure. It was during that year that someone introduced me to Old St. Patrick's Church, where Father John presides on Sunday mornings. And that was the start of what has been a long adventure and a long love with the city of Chicago and the Catholic Church.
Sure. In Chicago,
I spent that year at Amate House volunteering, and then I went on to work in the corporate world doing pension plan consulting and project management work for almost 10 years.
Wow. See, I wouldn't have guessed it was that long.
Yeah. It was, I think it was 9 to be exact.
Well, yeah.
So almost 10, sure. But it was about 7 years into that I kind of got the itch of maybe there's something else out there. And
sure.
I think part of that itch was a bit of burnout. Part of that itch was just a longing for more. Mm. Is there more to life than working a 60-hour work week and being stressed out and having client demands hanging over my head? I have different kind of demands hanging over my head today.
demands will always be there.
Yeah.
We just need to choose which ones we want to accept.
Yeah, and which ones we want to let keep us awake at night.
Sure.
And in the midst of kind of some of that anxiety, I reached out to a spiritual director in my faith community. I also worked with an independent career counselor and looked at a lot of different options, was asking questions about what are my gifts and my skills, but more importantly, where is God calling me to be in the world, and began to recognize that service was a big part of who I was and what gave me a lot of life and passion and energy, mm-hmm. and that my faith life and my involvement in church, in liturgy, in things like retreats,
sure.
and social justice work were also a big part of mm-hmm. who I am. And I went back to graduate school and did a Master's of Divinity at Catholic Theological Union here in Chicago,
right.
and subsequently spent a year as an intern at the Shield Catholic Center, which is the Catholic campus ministry at Northwestern University mm-hmm. in Evanston. And then they invited me to stay on staff, and that's where I've been for the last 7 years.
Wow, it's that long already.
Yeah, a little bit part-time and going into my fifth year full-time.
They're very lucky to have you. I really mean that.
It's a great place.
Yeah,
it is a privileged place
now,
to be.
Now, Beth, where are your roots? Where did you call home before you made it to this big, bad city?
I grew up in West Point, Nebraska.
Wow.
Which is a small town a couple hours north of Omaha.
Okay.
Wonderful people.
Yeah.
My parents are still there. I grew up on a farm.
Yeah.
And my brothers and sisters are scattered around the country.
Okay.
But that is the place we call home. And was really actually blessed to be there a few weeks ago. My mom had a big birthday, and so we were all my brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews were all home to celebrate with her. And
nice.
Beth, I've always wanted to ask this question.
Yeah.
When you go home, what does your family, your sibs, and then certainly your mom and dad, how do they react to this huge career change?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that there's a dream in the minds of moms and dads that their children find security.
Yeah.
Insecurity in our country sometimes means financial stability and mm-hmm. relational stability and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
And you've really taken the path less chosen.
Traveled, yeah.
Yeah, less traveled for that word. And when you go home or when you have conversations with them, how do they react to this different phase in your life?
Yeah. Well, one of the stories I always go back to is my parents' reaction when I told them I was moving to Chicago to spend a year teaching in the inner city. And God bless my dad, who's a wonderful man and a faith-filled man. He looked at me and he said, I can't believe you're going to waste 16 years of good Catholic education and go off and do something like this.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And we all laugh at that now because I think it was this genuine reaction to exactly what you're talking about,
exactly.
Father John, this desire for, his smart and talented young daughter to make a name for herself and make money and do well and be successful and to look him in the face and say, but Dad, this is where God has drawn my heart, and and I have to take this risk now to see what it would be like to serve God's people in the inner city of Chicago. And I was very lucky to have some wonderful mentors and a good circle of friends in college who said, you know, Beth, your dad, it means really well.
Sure he does.
But you have to listen to that place God is calling you. And, and over the course of that year, and them coming to Chicago to visit me, and I think the more they heard me speak passionately about why I was doing this and why I believe so much in it, they really did come around to understand that. And so then, you know, moving into the business world, that seemed like a very natural next step to me. And then when I eventually followed this call to ministry, I think by that time, my parents really knew that this is a big part of who I am. And it did not come as a surprise whatsoever to them that I was going to leave the business world and pursue ministry. And they've been very supportive. And I can tell you more stories when we get into the single life about what their reaction to that has been.
But that's good. I mean, I you know, it's important that people who are our listeners understand a little bit of, you know, your own personal journey, that family always questions, and yet you have to follow your heart, and your heart has taken you now to be a spokesperson for helping all people, but particularly younger people, to deal with leading a single life.
Right, right.
And so we're going to jump into that, but I think, Kate, before that...
Yeah, we are going to take a break, so thank you for listening to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and Miss Beth Kenobi. We will be right back.
That we might have life, everlasting life, you came to us, O Lord.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. And so I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities. And it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood.
Welcome back to The Light Show with Beth Kenobi, Father John Cusick, and Dr. Kate DeVries. We are delighted to be with you. We are talking today about Party of One. We are having a conversation with Beth Kenobi about relationships. So thanks, Beth, for helping us to understand a little bit about who you are and where you came from. Now I am curious about your motivation. Why would you write a book about being single? What's going on there? Why don't you enlighten us a little bit?
Well, you know, I had a big birthday about 10 years ago. And most people, I always say, you know, birthdays ending in zero are significant moments. My big birthday was 29.
So was mine. It was.
Wow. And 29 was the, oh my goodness, I'm almost 30. What am I doing with my life birthday?
Okay.
And, you know, we talked in the first segment a little bit about my journey from from college to Chicago in corporate life, and now this call to ministry. But part of turning 29 was also the I'm not married yet, and is that okay? Mm-hmm. And in the midst of applying to graduate school and recognizing that there were all of these life changes coming up, I made a very conscious decision to put my dating life on hold. And what's funny is it's not that dating was taking up a lot of my time. I think it was taking up a lot of my emotional energy. Mm. And I just made a very conscious decision, knowing that graduate school was going to take up a lot of time and energy, that part of my life I needed to stop worrying about for a while. What's really interesting is that in consciously putting that on hold, I subconsciously began to make more friends. Mm-hmm. And there I had greater girlfriends who I could hang out socially, greater guy friends, both in school and outside of school. Was finding that my prayer life was more nourishing. I wasn't for a lack of relationships in any way by making that decision. And in many ways, it was very unconscious, but really wonderful to see how that unfolded. So it was really almost 10 years ago, the beginnings of what this book is, Party of One, Living Single with Faith, Purpose, and Passion. But it was this recognition that the single life can really be a place of abundance and joy when we welcome that as a gift. And for the past 10 years, I've spent a lot of time thinking about what is it that God is inviting us to as single people, while also being true to the fact that being single isn't always easy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And wanting to be really candid and honest about the painful and challenging parts of being single. But I think, you know, over the last 10 years, as I've thought about that and prayed about that and talked to other singles about, you know, where they find joy, how they deal with loneliness, what are the questions and assumptions we get, there was a lot of fruit for writing a book. And it really all started with kind of this question of, who am I and what is God calling me to do? And is there a purpose in being single? Mm-hmm. I often tell young adults that being single is more than just waiting to get married. Sure, dating and relationships are all a part of this, but there's a whole lot more to the single life than the dating life.
Sure.
So. I love the subtitle, you know, mm-hmm. Living Single with Faith, Purpose, and Passion. Yeah. And I think we're all called, and no matter what our state of life is, who we are, to live with faith, purpose, and passion. Yeah. And it's great that you named it and could see what was going on and just decided something was getting in the way. What can I do to set that aside and move forward? Yeah. That's great.
Beth, as you can guess, or if you don't know firsthand, you know, working with young adults, as long as Kate and I have, I get in a million conversations mm-hmm. about this issue. And the hardest thing for me is, I don't know, I can't convince people of anything. But and you bring it up in your book and in a couple different sections, that there's a number of people who believe there's something the matter with them.
Right.
When somebody says, oh, aren't you married yet? And it's not aren't you married, it's that last word, it's that adverb that, it becomes like a dagger to people.
Yeah.
And that's number one. So I want you to reflect on that. But number two, and people will say this only in confidence. They'll never say it at a cocktail conversation, or they won't say it at, you know, some bar on Lincoln Avenue. They'll say, is there something the matter with me?
Yeah.
It's almost like my car doesn't work. Can you figure out, you know, can you open the hood and see what's the matter? And,
yeah.
And I'll say, well, what do you mean? Well, I just have no luck in relationships. I have no luck in dating. And I haven't gone out on a date in 4 years. And I just feel miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Needless to say, you address those issues. And could you share a little bit you know, about both of those?
Sure. The first story that comes to mind, interestingly, I got this question twice when I was in the midst of writing the book. And, you know, people would ask, oh, what are you doing? What are you working on right now? And I would tell them about the book project. And I had two different people look at me with kind of this scowl on their face. And they said, well, what good is that going to do once you get married? Mm. And I would be like, I was like, well, I'm writing a book about being single to encourage other singles in their single life. And if I eventually get married, that would be wonderful, and that doesn't negate the importance of talking about being single now. But that question is such an important one of is there something wrong with me because I'm single, because I'm not in a relationship? And my response to people is often, well, first, no, there's nothing wrong with being single. But secondly, you know, we all have issues. We all have stuff. We all have baggage that we carry with us. And what a great time to really examine who am I in relationship to others? What is holding me back from being in authentic relationship? It's both about growing in confidence that being single is an okay place to be, and that there can be a lot of life and joy in the single years, whether I'm single for a short amount of time or I'm single for years and years. It's both about recognizing that the single life and the single years are a place that I can grow and that I can really explore my gifts and my talents and my passions. And we all have stuff. And being married and being in a relationship isn't going to take that away. Isn't a solution to personal issues, to personal problems.
Absolutely. Boy, say that from the mountaintop. Because as you would guess, I deal with that too.
Yeah.
You are listening to The Light Show on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we will be right back.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice, DVD, and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
And welcome back to The Light Show. We are delighted to be with you and with our special guest, Beth Kenobi, today. Beth being the author of Party of One, Living Single with Faith, Purpose, and Passion. And Beth, thank you for reminding us that whoever you are, wherever you are, be comfortable.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's going on, live with gusto, you know, just be fully alive and seize the moment and make more good things happen.
Yeah.
You know, Beth, I want to comment on one thing you mentioned before the break, and that is when you said, you know, single people have to be, you know, comfortable in their relationship with others.
Right.
I think there's something prior to that, and maybe it's just the language I use. I know you've written about it. You first of all have to be comfortable in relationship to yourself.
Yes.
We are a relationship to ourselves. We are in relationship to our dreams, our hopes, our values, and our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all too often that is bypassed because we're always going out to someplace else.
Yeah.
I cannot get over, and this is just goofy me. I've been marrying people for 41 years in a very bright, talented, highly educated segment of the world, the United States of America, and young adults. Beth, I cannot tell you how many times when a relationship or a marriage has gone belly up and busted, somebody will say to me, in all seriousness, I thought it would be different. I thought he would change once we got married. I'm thinking, yeah. And I've said to people, honey, who you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. And the first person you see is the one in the mirror.
Yeah. I like to call it the Jerry Maguire syndrome. If people have seen the movie Jerry Maguire, it was popular 7-8 years ago, but there's a line in that movie, and it's Jerry and Dorothy, and they're standing at the threshold of the doorway having this intense conversation, and at one point she says, "You complete me." it's this myth that we need another person to complete us. A friend of mine posted something on my Facebook wall a few weeks ago. It's a quote from a new book that's out, and the author of that book was talking about how we have one soul. Like, do you believe in soulmates? And this author said, I don't believe in soulmates because our souls are complete. God gave us one soul. I don't need someone else's to be joined to mine in order for me to be a whole person.
Right.
You know, if I find myself in relationship with another, I want them to add to my life.
Not to complete my life.
I don't need them to complete my life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I truly believe relationships, particularly friendships, I mean, that's, they're gifts.
Yeah.
Absolute gifts. And the truest friends are those who have a faithfulness to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could almost recite the words, the vows of marriage. I am faithful to you in good times and bad, sickness and health, alone or with others.
Right.
And if we can find that, we're faithful to ourselves, and if we can say, seriously, in a world that calls everybody a friend, who really are your friends?
Yeah.
I think that's what you bring.
Yeah. Well, and that, I think, is one of the essential pieces to finding happiness and contentment in the single life, is that often what we long for is this sense of intimacy and connection. And for single people, and those who have really found their happiness and contentment as being single, I think you ask any one of them, and they will tell you that there is someone in their life who is a partner in intimacy, and not in a romantic way, but someone they can be emotionally connected to. This is someone who I share my joy and my sorrow, who I can pour my heart out to, who I can call in a heartbeat, who I know is going to be there for me, whether, you know, I have a flat tire or my kitchen sink is broken or I need a shoulder to cry on. We need people like that in our life, whether we're married or single. But I think especially for singles who don't have a permanent lifetime partner, we need those people in our life who we can turn to in times of need, especially to fulfill that gap, that emotional gap.
Beth, not too long ago, a generation was considered 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And at least definitionally on a behavior level, that was the amount of time necessary to change life experiences from one group of people to another. That was life, you know, so that when you were 25, somebody being born was now going to be different.
Right.
Well, they say now that a generation is under 8 years. And from your work at Northwestern, I'm sure you'd say it's probably less than that. I mean, technological change is dramatic. So let me ask you this, and I don't mean this in a negative way, as an old timer working with college kids on this issue, most of whom are single.
Mm-hmm.
What are the differences you see from when you were their age? And what I'm getting at here is I'm going to throw out a term.
Okay.
You know, because when you talked about intimacy, I can't help but believe most people hear the word sex.
Right, right.
And there's some language in the younger world today, hooking up.
Yes.
Which I'm sure has got to be a part of your ministry in terms of dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly, to me, is much more casual, probably a lot more prevalent, at least the culture thinks it is,
yeah,
than when you were at that age in life. So that's part of the single life today.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd like to know where you are with that, or how you see it, or how do you interpret it for many people listening today?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that I try to talk about a lot, especially with our students, with young adults, is what it means to be in healthy, holy relationships.
There you go.
And what do loving and life-giving relationships look like? And that comes right out of our church teaching, that sexuality and who we are as sexual beings is about being procreative. Where is new life and God's love coming out of my existence, and it's hard to meet young people where they are. I try not to hit them over the head too hard with theology, but to begin to challenge them to think about where are our lives being creative and life giving and loving. But you're right that. That intimacy word means something much different.
Right.
And I think to be able to acknowledge that we have needs for intimacy and that those intimacy needs can be filled in many different ways, that I think part of what the hookup culture, what has happened, is that people have this desire to have connection, and they think that's going to be fulfilled with a physical encounter. And young people discover that that's not always life-giving, that it's sometimes really life-draining.
Yeah.
The challenge is to see intimacy in broader ways and in broader contexts of relationships.
Well said.
I liked your sense of what makes us more fully alive.
You
know, let's be invested in being fully alive. Thank you for listening. We are going to go into our second half hour with Beth Kenobi right after our break. So please stay with us.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities HIV/AIDS case management programs, food pantry, and ministry in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And welcome back to The Light Show with Beth Kenobi, Father John Cusick, and Dr. Kate DeVries. We are hosted by Young Adult Ministry, which is the Catholic Church's outreach to people in their 20s and 30s, both married and single. And if there's anything we can do for you, or if you want to continue this conversation, just give us a call at 312-466-9473. Again, 312-466-9473. Or you can connect to us through our website, yamchicago.org. Again, yamchicago.org. So now, Beth, we're going to switch gears a little bit.
Sure.
You've written this whole wonderful book about being single. Mm-hmm. You've talked about the faith, purpose, and passion. And I know you've been given some workshops around the Archdiocese, and maybe a little beyond even, mm-hmm. about the book and being single. I'd like you to focus a little bit for those people saying, yeah, but I so desperately want to be married. And I know you talked to them on the college campus. Father Cusick and I talked to them in the diocesan structure. Let's talk about the joys of being single. You know,
sure.
What is it? How do you be fully invested in who you are, mm-hmm. knowing this single thing is going on? What are some of the joys of being single?
Yeah. You know, I hear so many different things from young adults, and as part of writing the book, I invited other people to submit reflections on where they find joy and hope in the single years. Probably one of the first things that comes up is the word freedom and independence.
Okay.
That being single gives me the freedom and independence to do what I want. And I always challenge people to say, you know, it is about freedom, mm-hmm. and doing what I want, but it is also about being responsible. It,
sure.
it doesn't mean that I'm going to be wasteful about that or make poor decisions. It is about being wise in how we use our freedom and independence. But there is a real gift and an opportunity there to say, what is God truly calling me to? And knowing that I can follow God's call wherever that might lead,
right.
and that I have the freedom and independence to make my own decisions, to spend my money and spend my time how I want to do that, that is certainly a great joy. It opens us to
yeah.
having a lot of different experiences, meeting a lot of different people.
Mm-hmm.
That is probably first and foremost the answer I get to the great
and freedom to
joy.
Freedom to plan your weekends, you know,
right.
without talking to your,
yeah.
your boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse,
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
your
yeah.
significant other.
Yeah.
That
I can decorate my apartment however
exactly.
I want it, especially for those who live alone. I know some singles live with roommates or maybe mm-hmm. even still live with family, but
yes.
you know, that opportunity, that chance to have my own space. To be the person I want to be and to grow into the person I'm becoming
okay.
is a great joy to explore that,
yeah.
who I am.
Yeah. 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 To kind of take off and do whatever, whenever.
Right.
For yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. And then I know you had talked in the book about the myth about being single is so selfish. You know, that, you know, there's something about the freedom, but
mm-hmm.
is it selfish to figure out what you need to do and be who you need to do? So how do you respond to that?
Yeah. So I think there's two responses to that. One is a response to selfishness in terms of finances. And my response there is really to talk about what it means to be a Christian steward and to be a good steward of the time, talent, money, and energy that God has given us. And can I do that in a way that really brings joy to others
mm-hmm.
and that's sharing all of who I am in ways that give glory to God? The other way I think that sometimes singles deal with that myth of being selfish is, you know, when it comes to interacting with our family or spending time with friends, you know, there's this myth that because I haven't given myself to another person in marriage or in religious community that somehow I'm selfish or holding back.
Mm.
And so I think the challenge is to say, how am I sharing myself in commitment with others? Because commitment and freedom really go hand in hand.
Mm.
That I'm free to commit myself to other people. And I think about friends in my life. I think about a good friend of mine who's a young widow who often calls upon her friends and her family for help in raising her kids. That's a commitment that I make to a friend who I know is in need. Mm-hmm. Because I'm single and in the kind of work I do in campus ministry, it's late nights and weekends, and it's training and it's hard work, and it gives me joy, and there's life and energy in it. And part of committing myself to that career and to that lifestyle is knowing that part of the gift God has given me in being single is that I have the time and the energy to give what it takes to give myself to my students in that way in terms of my time and my flexibility. And I would really encourage young adults as they sit with that myth of am I being selfish? Am I using my singleness in a way? How am I using my singleness? It's really about am I fully giving myself, and how am I committing myself to other people?
And you're helping me to see singlehood as a vocation, as opposed to, you know, just being, you know,
right,
free to do whatever, whenever, wherever.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. 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 And vocation is really about call and commitment. And I think there are a lot of single people out there who don't want to be single, mm-hmm. who really want to be married, mm-hmm. or who may genuinely be discerning a call to religious life. And that, too, is part of this charism of singleness, is this quality of openness. And am I open to the place God is calling me? And so there are a lot of singles who aren't necessarily called to be single forever, but mm-hmm. it's about acknowledging I'm single for now. I'm single today. Even if I'm dating someone, even if I'm interested in dating someone, it's still, this is where I am. And am I open to the place God is calling me? And for others, and this is certainly part of my story, is the more I've explored this idea of being single, the more I recognize that this is where God has called me, and that there is life and abundance and joy in the lifestyle of being single. And I do see it more and more as God's call in my life. And as I share my story, I've met others who recognize that the single status is where God is calling them. And then the next step is, how am I committing myself, and what am I committing myself to? Mm-hmm. And how am I taking that into prayer and recognizing the commitments God has placed on my heart, and begin to live in that covenant relationship, yeah, with others.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you talk about being intentionally single.
Right.
And I took that as being, okay, intentionally single. She's living intentionally as a single woman. But it could also mean by design, by purpose, by choice, I am being single now for a mm-hmm. while.
Right.
So do you want to define that a little bit,
yeah,
and explain that?
Yeah. That you exactly hit it, just how I would describe it, Kate,
okay,
is that being intentionally single is about living with faith, purpose, and passion. And for this time in my life, I'm intentionally going to approach the single years as something that God has called me to, that there's an invitation to a certain lifestyle, that whether it's my career, my relationships with my brothers and sisters, nieces and nephews, my neighbors, the people God has placed in my life, that I'm intentionally going to approach those relationships as ones that I'm in a committed relationship to God and to the people God has placed in my life, mm-hmm. Not to a single individual in a romantic relationship or in a permanent commitment of marriage or religious life, but to the people God has placed with me and to me. And that includes a lot of different people. It includes my coworkers, my students, the parishioners, the people who are part of my faith community, my prayer group. But it is about doing that with intention and entering into those relationships, engaging in my career with a sense of purpose.
And to know that, you know, being single now doesn't mean being single forever.
Right.
As you've written so beautifully in the book, being single now doesn't mean you will never, you know, we talk about the desire to get married and have kids, you know,
the
want to be a mom and want to be a dad. And
yeah,
it doesn't mean that you won't be caregiver or nurturer,
right,
or
right,
mentor, or, you know, share life, share yourself,
yeah,
with others.
Yeah. And I've often said to people, you know, I hope that my heart is open enough that if Mr. Wonderful walks through the door tomorrow, mm-hmm. I hope I recognize that spark and that desire to enter into a relationship with him. And, you know, if for some reason tomorrow God would invite me to religious life and introduce me to a religious community, and that's where God is calling me, I hope my heart is open enough to recognize that spark and mm-hmm. that desire to enter into a committed relationship with a community. Up to this point, that spark isn't there, that chemistry okay. isn't there, that desire isn't there. There's an openness, and, mm-hmm. and I truly am open to those other possibilities. But for today, I'm intentionally committed to this single life because it's where I am right now. And I think that's sometimes the fear, too, that by picking up a book like this or going to a talk that singles feel like they've kind of given in. And it's not. It's always about being open.
Sure, sure. Thank you. Open to possibility, open to God in our lives, open to one another, and open to growth.
Yeah.
Thank you, Beth.
You've
laid down so much about faith that, you know, there's a couple more questions we're going to ask after we come back from the break. But thank you so much for listening to us. We will be back in just a few minutes.
September is National Hunger Action Month, and Catholic Charities needs you to join the fight to end hunger in our communities. Organize a food drive in your neighborhood, donate to one of Catholic Charities' many food and nutrition programs, or sponsor one of our food pantries. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/hunger or call us at 312-655-7315 to find out how you can be a hunger hero. Join the fight to end hunger today.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Live your glorious life.
welcome back to The Light Show with Father John Cusick, Dr. Kate DeVries, and Miss Beth Kenobi. Beth, it's been such a joy to be with you this morning.
Thanks
for coming in. Beth, before we took a break, we just mentioned really briefly the myth that if you don't get married soon, you'll never have children, and that longing to be a caregiver.
Yeah.
Can you expand on that just a little bit for us?
Yeah, you know, it's one of the questions that certainly I've dealt with as someone in my, a woman in my late 30s now, and other women and men, too, I think, struggle with this question. And I remember talking to a friend of mine once, and she told me about a moment in prayer of really sitting with that question of, okay, God, what if I never get married? Mm. And what if I never have children? And is that okay? And really struggling with that, but really sitting with it and eventually coming to this recognition that there are a lot of ways that, that life comes forth from us, and that perhaps biological children will not be in her future, but that there are other ways that her life is generative and that she can be nurturing and caring. And that happens in so many different ways for people, whether that's through mentoring new employees in the workplace, it happens in friendships, it happens coaching t-ball or working with organizations that, that help kids. I have seven nieces and nephews who I absolutely adore. And I have hundreds of students who walk through our doors at the Shiel Center every day, every week. And so that's a big part of where I have found life and nourishment. And that in some ways I have parented. And there are parts of parenting that honestly have kind of scared me at times. And in many ways in my work in campus ministry, I parent 18, 19, and 20-year-olds and get to have incredible conversations with them. And, you know, my encouragement to singles is to think big and to think outside the box in terms of where new life and growth is coming from you. In the book, I mentioned that we have a number of other singles who contributed stories and essays, and one of my favorite essays in the book comes from my friend Joanne, who's a marathon runner, and she talks about giving away her Boston Marathon medal to a young girl who was going through a lot of grief and a lot of turmoil in her life, and just that was her way of caring and nurturing and showing a young person that she really cared, and she uses that as a story in that chapter where I talk about the myth of, you know, what if I never have children? And that's, she has found that running and being a marathon runner is one way she's been able to give back and give life to others.
Yeah, interesting. It was a revelation for me when I realized that I entered my 50s. Oh, my goodness. Hate that when that happens. But it's been good. It's been good. And as Father Cusick said, you celebrate life. You celebrate every birthday. You celebrate life and every day. But there's something that happens when you say, I'm not going to be a biological mom, but that doesn't mean I won't be in relationships. That doesn't mean I won't have a meaningful life. That doesn't mean I'll never get married. And it doesn't mean that I can't be fully alive in every way, shape, or form.
And,
so,
and that you leave a legacy for the next generation. I think that's what parenthood is. But for singles, you know, to imagine, how am I leaving a legacy for the next generation? Right. And I see myself doing that with my work with students. I imagine you see that in your work with young adults, that we're handing on the things we value, the gifts that God has given us, we're handing those to the next generation. Sure. And parenthood is one way to do that. But as singles, we need to think creatively about how we're giving life to those who follow us.
Absolutely. And the greatest gift we can give is the gift of ourself.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's to a child, to a spouse, to a friend, or to the world, to our work. And I just can't insist enough that each one of us is gift. Maybe, you know, if we're using religious language, that what we're saying is that's faith, that we have something that no one else in the world has.
Yeah.
And that if we can stay in touch with who we are, our best self, I think that's the gift that we continue to give to other people.
Right.
Will our heart be broken? My heart's been broken a million times. Mm-hmm. I've had people use the word friend. The trouble with being a priest sometimes is everybody's your friend. And then all of a sudden, they're nowhere to be found. And you say, well, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, they don't realize that you can get crushed. I've had great family that I've known in parishes. Oh, Father Cusick's very close to us. Then they're out of your life and you don't know what happened. And you're thinking, but you have to say, I'm still who I am.
Yeah.
Now, Beth, it recently became known to me that you had the experience of a 30-day retreat. So as I was working my way through the book and watching this wonderful faith that's erupting, you know, the book is filled with experiences of faith, moments of faith, that you are so grounded in faith.
Yeah.
So, and then when I heard you had just recently been on a 30-day retreat, I'm like, Beth is grounded because she puts herself in situations that strengthen her faith. Mm. So do you want to tell us, we just have a few minutes left.
Sure.
A little snippet of the value of a retreat experience.
Oh, well, you know, certainly Father John and Kate, you were a big part of introducing me to retreats through your work in young adult ministry. And I've been doing retreats since I was a freshman in high school. Mm. Actually, probably an eighth grader, my eighth grade confirmation retreat. And I think I calculated once, I've been on retreat at least once a year for the last 20-some years of my life. It's just been a part of how I was formed as a young person, beginning as early as junior high and high school, and have always longed for and looked forward to that time away with God, whether that's was in a preached retreat setting or in an interactive setting with other youth or young adults. But most recently, in the last 7 or 8 years, I've spent a lot of time on a silent retreat and have found a tremendous amount of grace in simply being in God's presence and being in God's presence in the silence. And this summer, I spent 34 days at...
That's a lot of days.
Yeah, 34 days at Eastern Point in Gloucester, Massachusetts, with the fine Jesuit priests and lay staff of men and women that they have there. And it was beautiful. It was hard.
34 days of silence.
And you know, it's interesting. You know, people say, you mean you didn't talk? And, you know, everyone is matched with a spiritual director. So I had a spiritual director that I met with for about 45 minutes to an hour each day. Oh. And we had Mass each day. And Mass is liturgy as usual with the call and response and readings and all of that. But the rest of the day is silent in that you're not talking to people. But throughout the day, I had kind of assigned myself to various prayer periods, and there's a rhythm to the 30-day retreat experience of going through different scripture passages. You're really following the life of Jesus throughout those 30 days, and so the prayer periods were really about engaging in a specific scripture passage, a different one each day as you follow the life of Jesus. And for me, it's a really rich prayer. It never felt quiet to me because I was constantly in conversation with God. And, you know, throughout those 30 days, I just felt so held and loved, and this tremendous sense of healing and blessing and goodness that I've known in my life and to be held in God's care. And at the same time, was also very aware of my sinfulness and my brokenness and those places in my life where I've had regret and resentment. And I think when we avail ourselves to God in that way, God shares with us what we need. Mm-hmm. And what I needed this summer was a lot of healing. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was in that place where I could really experience that and accept that and relish that. And it's going to be a long time before I completely understand all of the insights after being in the silence for 30 days.
Sure.
But
sure.
I certainly walked away from retreat knowing that that I love Jesus, I love the Lord, and that I am loved.
Yes.
And that is where I place my trust and my hope, is in that relationship. It was really a grace.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Beth, I know you've got some stuff coming up.
Yes.
So let us know just real quickly. You've got about 30 seconds.
Okay.
What's happening?
Next Wednesday night, September 21st at 7 p.m., I will be at Notre Dame de Chicago Parish on the west side, 1334 West Flournoy, talking about, is it okay to be single? Very excited to do that. And then at the end of October, October 27th, we'll be doing a lecture and book signing up at the Shield Catholic Center in Evanston.
Nice.
So
thank
invite
you.
People to join us for those events.
And all sorts of other events for young adults can be found on our website, yamchicago.org. We will put Beth's information on there as well, so you can always see what's happening.
And Beth's book, Party of One, Living Single with Faith, Purpose, and Passion, can be found on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and you can also get it from the publisher, St. Anthony Messenger Press, And that is available by going to AmericanCatholic.org.
And that is available in hard copy and Kindle edition. And in January, it will also be available as an audio book. So watch for that.
Thanks, Beth, so much for sharing your giftedness and your wisdom. We really appreciate it.
Thank you
for your time this
Thanks,
morning.
Everybody.
Have a great month.
Be blessed.
Jesus, you are the light of the world.
Be with us, O Lord, we pray.
With your Spirit, send us to shine, radiant with your glory.
Send